Welcome back to WTBU News. Here's tonight's New England report.
Housing advocates are calling on Massachusetts lawmakers to advance a bill filed in late June that would protect tenants facing eviction in Massachusetts for the next year. The bill would put a mandatory pause on evictions and foreclosures, preventing no-fault evictions and evictions due to missed rent because of COVID, and would also prevent rent increases for the 12 months following the state of emergency. The current moratorium on evictions is set to expire on October 17th, after being pushed back from its original August 17th expiration date. Landlords, however, have sued the state, claiming the ban is unconstitutional. The new bill does include a way to help landlords with 15 or fewer units by creating a state fund to offer aid to those unable to pay housing costs due to the pandemic. If the moratorium does expire on October 17th with no replacement, the Massachusetts Housing Court estimates 20,000 eviction cases will be filed.
Within days of the start of class, six students at Attleboro High School tested positive for COVID-19. However, one of those students' parents, who are aware of their positive test, decided to send them to school anyway. 28 students now who had close contact with a student or class with them have to quarantine for 2 weeks. The student tested positive on September 11th, but attended the first day of class on September 14th. The parents told the city health department that they believe their child could go to school after quarantining for the 3 days before class began. The school is not aware of the student's positive test until the 15th, after rumors of a positive case were reported to the city's Bureau of Health. Attleboro Mayor Paul Hureau said, quote, "It was a reckless action to send a child, a teenager, to school who is COVID positive. It was really poor judgment," end quote.
In the last 4 days, the number of students testing positive for coronavirus on the Providence College campus has soared to 124 students. State health officials have opened case investigations and have ramped up contact tracing efforts in order to stop the spread. Students who live in the area of the outbreak and the employees of businesses in that area are now strongly urged to be tested immediately so more extensive contact tracing can be conducted if it appears necessary. Providence College issued a stay-at-home order to all students and will have full remote learning through at least September 26th because of the 84 students who had tested positive in just 2 days. Of the 84 students, 23 lived on campus and the rest live off campus in Providence apartments. The president of the university has ordered all on-campus students to stay on campus while off-campus students are required to self-quarantine in their apartments and refrain from holding gatherings both indoors and outside. The nonprofit Violence in Boston has found its first public location for the organization that aims to reduce recidivism, homelessness, food insecurity, and health disparities. The main mission for the organization is to help victims of violence and stop violence in the city. Their new center is located in the Hyde Park neighborhood of Boston and is home to a free food pantry, mental health and trauma resources, legal assistance, a podcasting studio, and a computer room. The CEO, Monica Cannon Grant, explained to NBC 10, "Violence is a symptom of poverty, and poverty is man-made. By addressing poverty and social constructs that contribute to violence, we minimize the crime." She has become a well-known advocate for Boston's Black community throughout the last decade, and last week she was named one of Boston's 10 outstanding young leaders by the Greater Boston Chamber of Commerce and City Awake.
Massachusetts Task Force 1, an urban search and rescue team based in Beverly, returned home Sunday night from their week providing relief to West Coast communities ravaged by record wildfires. The task force is made up of 150 first responders, civilians, engineers, and physicians who respond to major national disasters under a contract with the Federal Emergency Management Agency. 25 people made up the crew that was deployed to Portland, Oregon on September 14th. Though they were not directly fighting fires, the task force conducted damage assessments and searched for missing persons. Two team members described their experiences as life-changing, saying the extent of the damages exceeded way beyond their expectations, but found the experience as rewarding as it was daunting. The whole crew is required to test negative for COVID-19 before they return to their homes. Connecticut Congresswoman Johanna Hayes tested positive for COVID-19 on Sunday. She reported being largely asymptomatic aside from a slight breathing difficulty that was carefully monitored. Though Hayes is quarantining for the next 14 days, she had been present in both D.C. and Connecticut offices over the past week and had had contact with several staff members. After she was notified that one of her staffers had tested positive late on Saturday, Hayes went to 3 urgent care facilities in search of a COVID test before she was able to book an appointment. The Congresswoman used her experience as an opportunity to emphasize the need of a national testing strategy that provides fast and accurate results.
As remote classes for Boston Public Schools started Monday, students are still in need of computers. In a remote learning environment, computers are necessary for learning, as classes are provided through the platform. Students without these resources at this time are left scrambling for other solutions. BPS has already doled out 32,500 Chromebooks to students in need and invested in more than 6,000 Wi-Fi hotspots, but it is still in search of more laptops for its students. Classes are starting remotely for the district, but will shift to a hybrid model later in the fall. The University of Massachusetts is still making adjustments to its fall semester. The university recently announced that it was reversing its decision regarding football, deciding to hold this year's season after all. The season is scheduled to start in mid-October, according to a UMass press release sent Monday. The games are not currently scheduled for the season, but the university plans to make schedules according to public health guidelines and as it gets closer to the start of the season. Football program members returned in June despite their remote semester for UMass at large. Players and coaches will be tested multiple times per week for COVID-19.
On behalf of Alex Corey, Grace Ramey, Megan Forsyth, Melissa Ellen, and Hannah Barron, I'm Amanda Schneider. We'll be right back with tonight's National News Report.